6 minutes past one.
Ed Bell's South Florida Arts Beat, which airs each Friday at 1 p.m., is rebroadcast at 7 p.m. on WLRN Extra HD, now with more power and better coverage in South Florida. Listen on your HD radio at 91.3-2 or live online at WLRN.org.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, film critic Dan Hudak speaks with Greg Von Hausch about the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival. Dean of the Frost School of Music at the University of Miami, Shelley Berg, gives us a preview of Festival Miami. Our arts calendar today features Jody Horn-Leschinski with enticing event information for Broward County. Now, our classical arts contributor, Charles Greenfield, takes a look at what's in store for the Sunday Afternoons of Music and Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children.
For over three decades, Doreen Marks has managed and directed the Sunday Afternoons of Music, as well as Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children series. Her series first ran out of Pinecrest's Temple Beth Am, and then switched to UM's Gusman Concert Hall in 2002. The very affordable, high-quality concerts have attracted subscribers to international artists like violinist Jaime Laredo, pianist Richard Good, and cellist Janis Starker, the Mendelssohn String Quartet, and vocalist Dawn Upshaw. In 1986, Doreen introduced Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children with hour-long shows that have showcased local groups like jazz artist Ira Sullivan and Friends, the Florida Grand Opera Young Artist Studio, the New World School of the Arts Conservatory Orchestra, and annual Peter and the Wolf performances with personalities like Martin Buxbaum. In their 2012-13 concert season, Doreen Marks will present eight concerts, with three concerts presented at 7:30 p.m. and five concerts at 4 p.m., all held at UM's Frost School of Music's Gusman Concert Hall. With a fine eye for talent, she chooses young artists who are beginning to make a name for themselves on a national level. The setting in the 600-seat UM Gusman Hall is both intimate and acoustically accurate, while the programs are always entertaining and often challenging in scope. Recently, I had the opportunity to talk to Doreen Marks about the new season and her talented roster of young artists. Doreen Marks, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
It's always good to see you, Charles.
Tell our audience briefly about the impetus for your Sunday Afternoons of Music series and its evolution to its present venue at UM's Gusman Hall.
It's just wonderful to give the community so much fine music in a time when we really need music in our lives. And the rewards, I must say, are far, far greater than most people can realize. We make friends with the musicians, we make friends with the audience members, and it's just wonderful to give back to the community that has given us so much.
Doreen, what's the formula that makes Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children such a success? And tell us about this season's concerts.
Well, I think making a children's series so successful is to offer imaginative, educational, inclusive kind of programming with lots and lots of audience participation, and then when it's all over, give them something to eat.
And who's coming this year?
Well, we've got the Florida Singing Sons Boy Choir that opens up on October the 28th, the usual and the wonderful Peter and the Wolf, and then we have the Ballad of America in December. The Amine String Quartet is going to tell the children all about the makings up of a string quartet, how it works, the history of their instruments, and some of their hidden secrets. Then we have Alan Campbell from Europe. He's going to talk all about the keyboard. Is keyboard magic? And then finally, the remarkable Miami City Ballet dancers. And we do have some principals, the Delgado sisters, Callie Manning, and some wonderful dancers.
Well, let's talk about the upcoming 2012-13 season. On September 23rd, you feature a tribute to duo piano and the late Loretta Dranoff and her great two-piano series, the Dranoff series. Maxim Mogilevsky and Valery Kuleshov will play a mostly Russian concert, Prokofiev, Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff, and, of course, Franz Liszt, who wasn't Russian, but it sounds very exciting.
It is exciting, and particularly, I just found out about it a few days ago, the Maxim's great-grandfather was a very close friend of Alexander Scriabin and Sergei Rachmaninoff. And he comes from a legendary family, a musical dynasty, if you will. And the two of them together are amazing. And actually, throughout the whole season this year, we have lots of two-for-ones, a lot of soloists playing together with another soloist.
I want to go to the next concert,
oh, yes,
which is January the 13th.
We have a bit of a break in there, but, you know, it'll go fast.
It'll go fast. So our first concert is September 23rd, coming up very, very soon. So everyone has to get out to see this
in
great...
In a few days.
In a few days,
yes.
And then after that concert, we wait till the beginning of the year, January 13th, and Nadine Sierra, her sister Melanie, and pianist Gordon Roberts.
Absolutely. Gusman Hall will never be the same again, because Nadine is one of the most spectacular young singers on the opera scene today. She's a beauty from Fort Lauderdale, and her sister Melanie is going to surprise everyone. We went to hear her sing after Nadine said, I really, really would love her to come and sing with me. So we said, okay, and we were both blown away, Byron and I. And then Gordon Roberts is a fine, fine pianist. So again, I say the program is full of many, many delights that I don't really want to tell anyone, because I want them to come and see and hear for themselves two beauties. But just one little song I am going to tell you all about. I could have danced all night, both of them. And then Velia. Now, if you don't like Velia, come on, give me a break.
Right. So
forgive me for that, ladies and gentlemen, but Velia is one of the most magnificent songs around. Okay.
All right.
Next, Charles.
Next. Now, January 26th is a trio evening. Pianist Alon Goldstein, cellist Amit Pellid, and violinist Suvin Kim. They're doing Debussy, Brahms, and Dvorak. Doreen, you seem to have a knack in finding young and upcoming musicians.
And good looking.
Okay.
Ladies, you'll love these guys. They are marvelous. And they're going to, I do believe, have a question and answer period right after their program. Even though the program's late at night, it is Saturday and everybody can sleep in on Sunday morning. But the beautiful thing about this program is that, again, these are soloists in their own right. And then they blend together as a trio. So they're going to play individually in the first half. And then together, they'll do the Dvorak piano trio number 3. And the beginning is going to be wonderful, because Amit is going to be doing Brahms' cello sonata. Alon is going to be doing the preludes from Debussy. And then Suvin is going to do sonata number 6 by Yasay. So you see, it's going to be a tremendous trio. And again, ladies and the gents will like them too.
Well, you say that, and I will say this. On February 17th, Korean violinist Chaeyun Kim and pianist Alessio Box play duo sonatas by Beethoven and Brahms. Tell us about them.
Well, Chaeyun Kim is a beauty. She has a dazzling tone. She's exciting to look at, a wonderful stage presence, and compelling artistry. And again, Alessio and Chaeyun Kim are soloists, and here they are blending each other together. So it's a wonderful combination. And Alessio Bax is one of the most dazzling keyboard artists to have emerged in the 21st century.
Now, you repeat these instruments, violin and piano, on March 10th with Canadian violinist Laura St. John and British-born pianist Martin Kennedy.
Right.
And on March 16th, there's pianist Alan
Campbell. But you see, Laura is a completely different violinist than Chaeyun. So even though they're back-to-back, it'd be a completely different program. And Laura is a very exciting, not only exciting, but she's a little devilish, too. In fact, I was told that one time she played a piece of music with the violin right behind her back, which I think is really quite amazing, but... anyway, that's what she did, and everybody had a wonderful time with that. And Alan Campbell, believe it or not, again, just like Maxime, was born into an artistic family that included the legendary harpsichordist Wanda Landowska.
Well, that's...
And he is going to do, his concert on Saturday night, and then on Sunday afternoon, he's going to do a children's concert talking about the magic of the keyboard, and he's going to do the Carnival of the Animals.
Doreen, I hear that you have some new information for our listeners about a sponsor.
Oh, I do. But first of all, I want to thank all the remaining sponsors for helping Sunday Afternoons of Music and Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children, without whose help we couldn't continue. But this coming season, we have Ronald McDonald House Charities of South Florida, in other words, McDonald's. And they are helping support our children's concerts. And Ronald McDonald himself is going to show up for some photo opportunities and meet and greet. Now, you can't get better than that.
No, you can't.
Isn't that amazing?
And you're fed as well?
Am I what?
You're going to be fed as well?
Oh, I hope so.
Well, I want to just thank you again, Doreen, for being on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you again, Charles.
Doreen Marks has an unerring eye for upcoming and established performers whose superior talent ably fills smaller niches in South Florida's rising cultural scene. It should also be noted that impresaria Doreen Marks' over 32 years of service to the South Florida community have been supported and structured by her indispensable husband, Byron. For ticket information, call 305-271-7150 and check their website, sundaymusicals.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment. Listening to South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Great to have you along this afternoon. It's 18 minutes past one. TEDx Coconut Grove is an independently organized TED event on September 28th at Ransom Everglades School with Emilio Estefan, Joe Greer, James Grappando, James Hillier, Thelma Gibson, and a performance by Fushu Daiko. Tickets at TEDxCoconutGrove.org.
South Florida Theater League and 91.3 WLRN offer same-day half-price tickets at leading regional theaters and cultural organizations, including Broward Stage Door Theater, the Plaza Theater, Empire Stage, and the Alliance Theater Lab. Information and a complete list of shows online at culturalconnection.org. Culturalconnection.org, your ticket to the cultural arts.
It's South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the show, Shelley Berg, Dean of the Frost School of Music at the University of Miami, gives us a preview of Festival Miami. Our calendar today features Jody Horn-Leschinski with enticing Broward County arts events. Now, film critic Dan Hudak, chairman of the Florida Film Critics Circle, has the latest on Fliff.
I understand your dilemma, movie fans. You've been planning a trip to the Bahamas for a while now, but are worried about missing the 27th annual Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival if you go. Well, it's your lucky day. In the end of October, the festival is hosting Fliff on Location, Grand Bahama Island. 4 days of films and activities highlighted by the Career Achievement Award being bestowed upon Breaking Bad actor and Emmy nominee Giancarlo Esposito. The detour to the Bahamas runs concurrently with the main festival, which begins Friday, October 19th and runs through November 11th. Last year's opening night film was The Artist, which as we know went on to win the Academy Award for Best Picture. This year's opening night film is The Sapphires, an Australian film set in 1968 about four young and talented Aboriginal girls who learn about love, friendship, and war when their all-girl group entertains U.S. troops in Vietnam. Other notable films include Dustin Hoffman's directorial debut called Quartet, starring Maggie Smith as a diva who disrupts life at a home for retired opera singers, which is not to be confused with A Late Quartet, a different film that stars Philip Seymour Hoffman, Christopher Walken, and Catherine Keener as members of a famous string quartet that learns one of its members is terminally ill. The centerpiece film this year is called Stuck, a comedy set the morning after a one-night stand that strives to figure out what happened the night before. The closing night film is Silver Linings Playbook, starring Bradley Cooper, Robert De Niro, and Jennifer Lawrence. Written and directed by David O. Russell, the dramedy love story follows a man who loses everything and is determined to reconcile with his wife, but finds a further complication when the girl who offers to help wants something in return. We recently caught up with the president of the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival, Gregory Von Hausch, to learn more. Mr. Von Hausch, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Hey, thanks, Dan. It's always great to be on.
Greg, you're closing with the Silver Linings Playbook, which just won the top award at the Toronto International Film Festival. If you would, discuss the role that film festivals play in terms of championing independent films and getting lesser-known films seen by a wider audience.
Yeah, that role has actually evolved. When I first started with the festival, festivals were key ingredients in the marketing of the independent films with Miramax and Lionsgate and all those back then. Then as things started going right to video or on demand or whatever, our role became less important to them. Right now we're getting a resurgence from the independents and the studios alike. And what they really want to do is they want to generate as much word of mouth as they can prior to the opening of the show, turn big box office numbers, and then use that as a catapult into DVD sales and VOD sales. So once again, we're a marketing tool, and we're glad to play that foot soldier role, and we're just thankful that people like Weinstein and Fox Searchlight and Sony Pictures Classic think enough of us to give us some really great films.
It's similar to the way they will do what's called a platform release, meaning mm-hmm. they'll open in just a couple of cities, build some word of mouth, and then open wider once the positive buzz comes in. It seems like a similar principle involved, only you get the boost of a core audience of a film festival.
Exactly. And they also, because it's so expensive now to reach a great platform of people, they don't have to pump that money into newspapers where it's really hard to gauge what they're getting because the display space is so expensive and people just aren't picking up the old newspaper like they used to.
Right. So you're being used, but you're being used in a way that you want to be used.
Right.
And it's good for the festival because you're getting these releases that aren't being seen in many places elsewhere. So you're able to draw a crowd with movies that people can't see anyplace else.
Yeah, think of us like a remora eel attached to a shark, you know, and we're happy to pick up whatever crumbs that they drop to us. But it's a great relationship, and I hope it continues.
Well, speaking of awards, last year, I give you a lot of credit for this, you opened with The Artist, which everybody knows went on to win Best Picture at the Oscars. Does this mean The Sapphires is going to go on to win Best Picture as well?
You know, I don't know. I love The Sapphires. I think it's a hoot. It may not have that calling card that The Artist had with it being such a new concept of a very old idea, Back to the Future, if you will. But it is very reminiscent of the Rocky films where you're pulling for the underdog. And it's very nostalgic in the 60s and Vietnam in the kind of romantic sense. And I think it's a hoot. And Chris O'Dowd is fabulous, so funny, and these girls are just wonderful.
And this is the second year for FLIF on location. Talk about the benefit for FLIF and the benefit for the locals in the Bahamas.
Okay, well, the FLIF on location, Grand Bahama Island, is definitely a benefit for us. Our filmmakers love it. We take them over there on the Bahamas Celebration out of West Palm Beach. They have this overnight cruise there with their own cabin, and they get there and the Bahamians just roll out the red carpet for them, take them all over. And the key benefit for us is kind of a real parochial one for me, because that's exactly during the time of the Fort Lauderdale boat show. So it's a good time to get out of Dodge. We can keep our festival going with films that don't have special guests, because during the boat show, it's like the Super Bowl. It's hard to get hotel rooms. All the rates are jacked up. So so I can avoid that whole, you know, train wreck of Fort Lauderdale at that time, take the filmmakers over there, they have a great time, introduce it to new audiences, do international premieres of our films, reach new sponsors, and get a lot of new buzz for the filmmakers, which is really what our chief concern is at the get-go.
And you offer travel arrangements for locals who want to go as well, right?
Right, yeah. There's a whole package. They can go to bahamas.com/fliff, and they'll see the whole thing that they can get, where it includes their tickets and parties, excursions, and fun. It's really a neat little four-day mini-fest, and I'm thrilled that we have such great partners over there.
Very cool stuff. I want to talk about some of the films showing in Fort Lauderdale. Local filmmaker Joe Pisciotta has a short film called Exonerated, and I think it's just a fascinating movie. It's 9 minutes, but we're talking about a story based on a true story about a former high school star who has a woman in his life falsely accuse him of rape, and then he's exonerated 10 years later, and it seems like a wallop packed into 9 minutes. Tell us a little bit about your emphasis on local filmmakers and your shorts program.
Yeah, hats off to Joe. That's great. I think he's submitted many films to us, and we've played many of them, but this, I think, is head and shoulders above what he's done in the past, and I'm really proud of him for coming up with it. But we do have a local films that we called Sunshine Celluloid. They'll be played on Saturday, October 27th, all day and all night into the wee morning hours at Cinema Paradiso. And because we had so many, we're bringing back on November 3rd filmmakers outside of South Florida, but still Florida filmmakers showing their films as well. So we really have an emphasis on that. We feel that it's kind of one of our missions. You know, we do get some grant money, and we're here to provide a service to our Florida filmmakers and then give them the opportunity to be seen in front of an audience. And then throughout the year, we also support them through a program we call Local Filmmaker Night, where they can use Cinema Paradiso for free to show their films. And it's a great relationship to have with the local filmmakers.
This year's festival covers Halloween, it covers an election day, which doesn't come around except for every few years, and it covers Veterans Day, and it's very cool. You have something planned for each day, the Bootacular, two political films on election day, and then four film premieres of films honoring military heroes on Veterans Day. It's good programming on your part.
Well, thanks. Yeah, the Bootacular has always been fun. I particularly like the early part of it, the non-scary part, which is 5 to 7. It's free for kids, and they can come in their costumes, and we have a pumpkin patch, and the whole staff is in costume. And then we bring them all on stage and have costume contests and scream contests. And it's fun. It's clean. It's fun. There's also a free horse-drawn hay rides around the river that start right at our place, and it's a great way, and that's from 5 to 7 at Cinema Paradiso on Halloween. And then right after it, we go into the adults, and we've got two great films for the adult crowd, and there will be a party after it. One of them is in its world premiere called Dark Amazon. It's kind of like a Blair Witch project that takes place in the Amazon in the wilds. So those will be on Halloween. And then, as you mentioned about the election day, this is a fun thing. The night before the election, we're doing two films, one called Party Chasers, all about the Tea Party. I kind of had to give equal time. Everybody thinks I'm always too liberal with my programming. So we have a Tea Party movie, and then that's followed by Grassroots, which is Jason Biggs and Joel David Moore. And what's great is on election day, if you come into the Cinema Paradiso with your I Voted sticker, you get to see a great documentary free, and then stick around all night. We'll have election results on the big screen.
Sounds great, Greg. Best of luck with the festival this year.
Thanks, Dan.
The Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival will be held October 19th through November 11th. Screenings and events will be held at Cinema Paradiso, 503 Southeast 6th Street in Fort Lauderdale, The Movie Co. Pompano 18, 10610 West Oakland Park Boulevard in Sunrise, and the Sunrise Civic Center Theater, 2315 North Federal Highway in Pompano Beach. For more information, call 954-525-3456 or go to fliff.com, or starting in early October, check out the Fliff mobile app. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at hudakonhollywood.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue right after these messages.
A graduate business degree from Florida International University can provide the knowledge and skills for today's business environment. You can attend an open house this Saturday and meet with admissions experts and staff. That's this Saturday, September 22nd from 10 a.m. to noon. The open house will be at the South Campus, located on 107th Avenue and Southwest 8th Street. Details and registration at fiubusiness.com. That's fiubusiness.com.
WLRN listeners are educated, affluent, savvy consumers. If these sound like the kind of people your business is trying to reach, consider becoming a WLRN program underwriter. Listeners learn about your business and that you care about the future of public radio. Learn more by calling Michael Payton at 305-350-7978.
It's 1:30 and you're listening to South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Very glad to have you along with us. We are funded by listeners like you and by Totem, presented by Cirque du Soleil, opening January 10th under the Big Top next to Sun Life Stadium. Totem traces the journey of the human species from its original amphibian state to its desire to fly. Totem is where creature becomes man and man becomes the future. Tickets available today, Friday, September 21st, at CirqueDuSoleil.com.
You're listening to South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello. Ed Bell with you. We'll wrap up the program today with our Broward County Arts Calendar featuring Jody Horn-Leschinski. But now, Charles Greenfield returns with a nationally renowned educator, musician, and composer to preview Festival Miami.
The University of Miami's Frost School of Music's Festival Miami continues its role as the fall harbinger for South Florida's cultural arts scene reemergence. Since its inception in 1983 under former music dean William Hipp, Festival Miami has changed from mostly Latin-based programming to a more encompassing series of programs. Under UM Dean of Music Shelley Berg, the series now consists of 25 concerts divided into four themes: great performances, jazz and beyond, creative American music, and music of the Americas. Festival Miami's 29th season begins October 2nd and ends November 4th. Over the years, Festival Miami has presented world premieres, including String Quartet No. 4 by Elliot Carter in 1986, Double Concerto for Flute, Double Bass, and Chamber Orchestra by Carlos Surinac in 1990, Concerto for Horn and Orchestra by Thomas Sleeper in 2000, and Sinfonia No. 2 by Roberto Sierra in 2005. This year, Festival Miami is presenting two Pulitzer Prize-winning American composers and Leon Fleischer, noted pianist and Kennedy Center winner in 2007, and the youngest student of the great Beethoven pianist and scholar, Arthur Schnabel. On opening night, October 4th at 8 p.m. in UM Gusman Concert Hall, Fleischer conducts UM's Frost Symphony Orchestra in Beethoven's Coriolan Overture and Rachmaninoff's Symphony No. 2. Renowned jazz saxophonist Dave Liebman, who played with Miles Davis and Elvin Jones in the 1970s, plays with the Frost Concert Jazz Band on October 9th at 8 p.m. The final concert brings the Master Chorale under its new director Karen Kennedy, Florida's Singing Sons Boy Choir, and the Frost Chorale and Symphony Orchestra to perform Carl Orff's Carmina Burana in the Night Concert Hall at the Arts Center on November 4th at 4 p.m. Free concerts and music classes include a talk with Leon Fleischer hosted by Frost Research Professor Frank Cooper on October 2nd, the Emerging Composers New Music Concert on October 11th, and the Songwriters Showcase on October 30th. All events take place on the UM campus. Recently, I had the pleasure to talk with Dean Shelton Berg about Festival Miami 2012. Dean Berg, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you, Charles. I'm glad to be here.
Many listeners may not know that you are equally gifted in classical as jazz piano. As Dean of Music, what are your goals for Festival Miami with its four-part structure, from great performances to Music of the Americas?
Well, some critics don't know if I'm equally talented at both, but we'll stop there. The goal is exactly that. It's really to show how broad music is in the world and how broad it is in our school. And sometimes, as often as we can, in fact, we cross some of those borders. And we're an exemplar for that, and the artists that we bring in are as well.
Now, Festival Miami 2012 fires up October 2nd with a free lecture by legendary pianist Leon Fleischer, who follows on October 4th with the Frost Symphony Orchestra playing works by Beethoven and Rachmaninoff. Tell us about your leadoff hitter and his program.
Well, it's always great to start with a legend. Leon Fleischer is one of the great pianists of the 20th century, who was well chronicled because he had a nerve damage to his right hand and then made a decades-long career playing with his left hand only and just becoming deeper and deeper as a musician. And now he has the facility back with both hands, but he's really applying a lot of that depth and experience and brilliance to conducting. And so he'll be conducting the wonderful young players of the Frost Symphony Orchestra, and I think it's going to be a very special evening in the history of our school.
And specifically the Rachmaninoff Beethoven, what are those pieces?
The Carolian Overture of Beethoven and Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony, which is, you know, those are some meaty repertoire. But if you haven't heard the Frost Symphony in recent years, it's really become, under Maestro Sleeper, our regular conductor, one of the great university orchestras in the country. And if you owe it to yourself, if you haven't heard the orchestra in a while, to come hear it, because it's stunningly good.
Now, Latin-influenced music has always been at the heart of Festival Miami. I see you were performing a two-part series of Nuevo Tango with the music of the great Astor Piazzolla, October 5th and 6th. Who is this composer, and what does his work mean to you?
Astor Piazzolla, talk about crossing boundaries, is one of the most important composers in the history of Latin America. And he created something called Nuevo Tango, which literally takes traditional Argentinian tango and makes a fusion of it with classical, jazz, other idioms. And so his works have now gone on to be performed by every imaginable kind of orchestra and musician and string quartet. It's crossed all boundaries in music. And so we're going to do one night that's devoted to Piazzolla's music pretty much as he presented it in his own group, and then another night with one of our jazz orchestras doing a jazz homage to Piazzolla. One of our faculty members, Deborah Schwartz-Cates, is one of the preeminent Argentinian musicologists in the world. So having her in our faculty, this was a natural for us to do.
Now, jazz lovers get a treat with saxophonist Dave Liebman in concert October 9th and in a free masterclass October 10th. Tell us about this legendary jazz man and his style of music.
Dave Liebman is a legend. He is one of the most important saxophonists in history. He started with Miles Davis and is one of that long line of musicians that went to the University of Miles. He leads something called the International Association of Schools of Jazz, and people from all over the world come to study with him every summer. He's a very, very important musician. I've had the privilege of playing with him, and I can tell you that there are just so few musicians that go to this deep and spiritual place that just imbues an entire audience with it. And so a chance to hear Dave Liebman is very special.
Now, emerging composers give the public some ideas of where contemporary music is advancing on October 11th. What can we expect in terms of their output? Is minimalism on the way out? Is there a newly emerging style?
Well, if there's a newly emerging style, hopefully we'll be discovering it on October 11th, because our young composers in the school are really, you know, university is the time to take in all of those influences and synthesize them through your own creativity. And I always tell every young artist or composer that your style is the result of this process of rejection and acceptance of influences. And so you get to hear some really great young composers going through that process. I think it'll be fascinating.
Now, classical lovers will certainly enjoy the gifted pianist Santiago Rodriguez on October 12th, Grammy Award-winning soprano Ana Maria Martinez on the 13th, and UM bassoon professor Luciano Magnanini on the 14th. Give us a quick preview.
Well, Ana Maria Martinez is a multi-Grammy winning opera star who's sung in every great concert hall in the world and every great lyric soprano role she's done. She tours regularly with Placido Domingo and Bocelli also. Santiago Rodriguez is the chair of our piano department, and he's considered by many to be the foremost interpreter of Rachmaninoff in the country, but he also, being a Cuban immigrant and actually a Pedro Pan kid when he was a kid, his playing Lecuona and some of the other things that he'll play, he brings a very special perspective to that. And Luciano Magnanini is a revered figure, one of the country's great bassoonists, has been on our faculty for decades, and it's called Luciano and Friends, and I guess the dean is his friend because I'm going to get to play on that concert along with a lot of our great faculty.
Now, Broadway, cross-genre jazz, Brazilian infusion, Carlos Oliva y Los Sobrinos del Juez, a tribute to Nat King Cole and John Secada in a cabaret night to remember, represent concerts starting October 18th through November 3rd. What a lot of fun and stimulating music. What can we expect?
There are so many concerts on this festival. John Secada, everybody knows him. He's an alum of our school, and he's much broader than you might know. He's a wonderful jazz and Broadway singer, as well as the great pop singer. That's going to be sensational. Again, one of those guys that nobody gets inside a lyric like John Secada. He just tears your heart out. Carlos Oliva, he created the Miami sound. You know, he's a seminal figure in this fusion of different styles that became the Miami sound, became the Miami Sound Machine, and other groups were based on that. So that's going to be really exciting. What were the other ones you mentioned?
Cross-genre jazz and Brazilian infusion and
Broadway. Oh, we have Trio de Paz, my favorite group. This is for me. If you love Brazilian jazz, you've got to come hear Trio de Paz with Romero Lobambo, the great guitarist. We have a Tony-winning Michael McGuire, Tony winner for Les Mis, with the woman who played Evita all over the country in the touring show, who's a parent of one of our students and an alum of our school. And the student's going to perform with his mother that night. So we have a great night of Broadway with two acclaimed Broadway stars and an up-and-coming young Broadway future star. Can't beat that.
And Nat King Cole.
And then we have the Henry Mancini Institute Orchestra, which is part of our school, performing a tribute to Nat Cole with Nat Cole's brother, Freddie Cole, and the great George Benson.
Oh, my gosh. Festival Miami 2012 ends November 4th at the Arts Center with perhaps choral music's most popular work, Carmina Burana. How did you put this big work together? And I noticed it's all being performed with local South Florida singers. Why this big propulsive work to end the festival?
Well, we have a new choral director since last year, Karen Kennedy, who's one of the greats in the country. She also directs the South Florida Master Chorale. So when you combine our resources with theirs and the entire Frost Symphony, 85 or 90 musicians strong, you have the forces to do a big and major work that you would rarely get to hear, Carmina Burana. If you don't know the piece, you've heard parts of it in so many movie scores, you've got to go just to say, oh yeah, I've heard that. So that's going to be an incredible way to end our festival.
Finally, what does Festival Miami mean to Greater South Florida in terms of its mission statement? I suppose it's the heralding of the notion of music diversity in all forms.
It is music diversity in all forms. It's for the people who live here year-round. We do it in October before the snowbirds come back. Nothing against them, but it's for our year-round community. The prices are affordable, and it's a gift to our students, and it's a gift to our community.
Well, what a way to go into October after the summer, the whole month of October into the beginning of November with Festival Miami. Dean Berg, thank you for appearing on South Florida Arts Beat.
Always a pleasure, Charles.
UM's Frost School of Music Festival Miami has become, over the last quarter century, the calendar starting point for South Florida's cultural season. But more than a mere filler series during the preseason, the festival now represents the region's growing sense of music, continuity, and integration in the larger national and international musical world. For more information and tickets, call 305-284-4940 or go to its website, festivalmiami.com. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
You can email Charles Greenfield at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment.
It's South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Very good afternoon to you. City Year Miami unites a diverse group of 17 to 24-year-olds for a year of service as tutors, mentors, and role models who make a difference to students and schools. You can learn more online at cityyear.org. City Year, give a year, change the world. Community Smiles is a non-profit dental clinic for uninsured, low-income children and families. Donations from the community allow them to provide comprehensive dental care. Details at communitysmiles.org, creating smiles since 1946.
Hi, I'm Michael Stock. Every Sunday on Folk and Acoustic Music, I present the best in contemporary and traditional bluegrass, blues, gospel, world music, and of course folk music, plus more. Folk musicians in the studio. This week, Celtic Mayhem, Rod McDonald, and introducing 12-year-old Maggie Baugh. The Public Storyteller is at 4 o'clock, Folk and Acoustic Music, Sunday, starting at 2.
You can get the news from the BBC World Service live overnight every night on WLRN Extra HD, now with more power and better coverage in South Florida. Listen on your HD radio at 91.3-2 or live online at WLRN.org.
And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Jody Horn-Leschinski, Interim Director of the Broward Cultural Division. How has your life been, Jody?
Oh, my life has been wonderful. How is yours?
It's rolling along through the summer and hopefully out of a very quiet hurricane season. Thank you.
Oh, God bless you. Yes, quiet, quiet season. I love it.
I know it's exciting up in Broward County, though. Tell me, where do we start?
Well, we can start with the 2012 Broward County Arts Teacher of the Year. We have had three finalists announced, and this year we're doing this a little bit differently. Instead of telling you who the finalist is, you have to actually come the night of the awards ceremony to see who the winner is.
Ah.
So the three finalists are Hillary Fine, and she is a visual arts teacher at Hollywood Academy of Arts and Science. Susan Ostheim, she's also a visual arts teacher, but she's over at South Broward High School. And then there's Nina Zashevsky, and she's a musical theater, acting, stagecraft, and English honors teacher at Nova High School. And Broward County's 27th annual Arts Teacher of the Year event program will be held on Wednesday, October 24th at 6 p.m. at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. And if you'd like to attend, it's a free event. It's a beautiful event because we get to see a whole cast of celebrities and talent and students. There'll be more than 100 students combined from the three finalist high schools performing and exhibiting. There'll be a visual arts exhibition in the lobby of the Broward Center. And then we'll have a series of 6 to 8 minute stage performances. We have Julia Dale. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she sang the national anthem. She's 11 years old, and she sang at the NBA Finals for the Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to sing that for us as well. And then we'll have the Dillard Jazz Ensemble performance, and they're led by band director Christopher Dorsey, and they're a national award-winning jazz ensemble. We're very proud to have them 2 years in a row now.
Bravo.
And we'll also have a couple of DJs on hand at the reception that follows the awards program. And there'll be a couple of surprises. So you really do have to show up to find out what those surprises are.
And we hope to speak with your Broward Arts Teacher of the Year that following Friday.
Well, I certainly hope that we can get her on the show for you. So one of them will be the winner, and we don't know who that is yet.
Good luck to each and every one.
Absolutely. And they all are excellent at their craft, so we want to applaud them to getting this far.
Yes, indeed.
There is the Grantmakers in the Arts 2012 Conference. It's a national conference, and it's taking place in Miami. However, on Sunday, October 14th, non-members are welcome to attend one of three pre-conferences. And if you're a grants maker in the medical industry, and I say medical industry because of the topic, the topic is the role of the arts and artists in health across the lifespan. In other words, we're going to look at the roles of nonprofit organizations, foundations, and artists in the healthcare and programs for the aging. And we're inviting funders just across the board to come to the pre-conference. And that will take place on Sunday, as I mentioned, at the Museum of Art in Fort Lauderdale. And if you're interested, the best way to register is to go to their website, which is conference.giarts.org. Recently, the Pompano Beach community was invited to meet artist Jennifer Andrews to participate in a discussion about the public art that's planned for the new Pompano Beach Branch Library. And during this meeting, Jennifer, who is from the Andrews Lefebvre Studios, give an overview of some past public artworks that they've created, including their famous literary walk, which was for the main branch of the New York Public Library. The artist asked guests to share their ideas for themes that may have special interest to them and a special meaning for the local area. And she spoke about how the artists plan to synthesize this information expressed by the community and translate it into a functionally integrated design for a public artwork for the library. So it's a very interesting process, and we love to have the public involved. So coming up this weekend, we have so many events, and we'll just go quickly through this list. The Museum of Art Fort Lauderdale and Broward County Libraries will present Shark Tales this Saturday at the museum from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And since September is National Library Card Sign-Up Month, these family-friendly activities, including storytelling and screening of the Shark Riddle film, face painting, and many other fun activities will be presented. And while you're there, you can sign up for a Broward County Library card and or both a museum membership. Exhibition entry fees apply, but children are free as long as they have a Broward County Library card. The South Florida Ballet Theater presents The Great Pas de Deux on Sunday at 6 p.m. at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. All performance series include professional dancers brought in from across the nation, and they've toured both nationally and internationally. An executive artistic director, Linda Duchesne, returns to bring some of classical ballet's most famous pas de deux in ballet history back to the stages of South Florida. On Saturday and Sunday, the Museum of Discovery and Science presents Science Rocks Weekend. Uncover how earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanoes, and hypothermal vents are all connected by plate tectonics. Learn about the rock cycle and the different changes metamorphic, sedimentary, and igneous rocks can experience. Explore a vast collection of gems and minerals, and explore the world of paleontology. From rock cycle snacks to fun with fossils, the event promises something for the entire family. The Opera Italia presents great opera moments on Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. The program will feature scenes from Don Pasquale, La Favorita, La Boheme, and Lucia de Lammermoor. Mosaic begins their new season with The Diary of a Madman, now through October 14th. This extraordinary event features Paprishan, a burned-out paper pusher who ekes out a meager living in Tsarist St. Petersburg, who is driven mad by bureaucracy, spends his days doing menial tasks, is anxious, and is teetering on the brink of lunacy. The Art and Culture Center of Hollywood presents an exhibition of three artists now through October 21st. Lori Zonick's Walkabout is a site-specific installation focusing on the concept of a passage. Alex Tremino's Luminist consists of illuminated totem poles that are covered in crochet, knitting, and found objects. And Justin Long's Bow Movement has a subversive whimsy that is at the core of his work by claiming sailing as an artistic medium, not only a sport. The city of Pembroke Pines invites you to relax at the monthly Sounds of Jazz series on Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. at Armstrong Dream Park. September's featured band is Pure. On Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Herb Skolnick Center, KP Productions presents Home for the Holidays, a musical theater production that honors the men and women who valiantly fought and continued to fight for our freedom. The costumes and sets will take you back to the big band sounds of the 1940s as we pay tribute to our armed forces. The Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival presents Hungarian Rhapsody, Queen, live at Budapest at Cinema Paradiso now through September 27th. If you would like more detailed cultural event information, please visit artscalendar.com, South Florida's guide to the arts and culture. Never miss a thing. Get there.
And with great entertainment and educational suggestions, that's Jody Horn-Leschinski, the interim director of the Broward Cultural Division. Jody, thank you so much for all that information.
Thank you. I hope there's something for everyone this weekend.
Yes, indeed. Noches Tropicales, a Latin jazz gala concert, takes place tonight, Friday, September 21st, at 8 p.m. at the Miami-Dade County Auditorium, 2901 West Flagler Street. Now, general admission is free, but space is very limited. They are selling reserved orchestra seating tickets, so if you get there early, you can get a free ticket. Miami-Dade County Auditorium. It features Joan Cartwright, Nicole Yarling, Carlos Averoff, Kiki Sanchez, Andy Harlow, Nikki Orta, and many, many others. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. Smithsonian Magazine's Museum Day Live offers free admission at participating venues throughout the country with a ticket Saturday, September 29th, and that ticket provides free admission to one person plus a guest. For more information, go to smithsonianmag.com/museumday for your info and your ticket. And there are just dozens of wonderful museums throughout our area that will accept that ticket, such as the Art and Culture Center of Hollywood, the Audubon House in Key West, the Bass Museum of Art, Miami Beach, the Boca Raton Museum of Art in Boca, Delray Beach, Coral Springs Museum of Art, the Fort East Martello in Key West, the Gold Coast Railroad Museum here in Miami, and the Harry S. Truman Little White House in Key West, on and on. History Miami, on and on. So go to that site at smithsonianmag.com/museumday for more information. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our beautiful website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner. And special thanks to our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Dan Hudak, and Jody Horn-Leschinski. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, of course, Topical Currents with host Joseph Cooper, Monday at 1. Have yourself a great weekend. Make it a wonderful, safe weekend. And please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.